Hello, everybody. Welcome to Pursuit of Relentless podcast. You've got your host, Elena. And today I'm excited because a lot of people have a huge, huge fear of public speaking. And so I am bringing you Regina Huber today, who's going to talk to us about gaining confidence in that area. So welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Elena. It's a pleasure to be with you. And I was really, really looking forward to this.
Yeah, me too. So I might just start with a little bit of my story before you dig into yours, because when I saw that I could connect with someone who's an expert in this field, I was like, definitely need to do that. Because when I first started in business, I was literally like, please don't make me talk in front of people. It was like, again, I was on training this morning and the girl was like, I've been in this business 3 years. And she's like, I just hoped that I would be able to go through the whole business and never have to speak in front of people. I'm like, that's not a thing, right? Like, you have to be able to have that confidence in yourself and be able to like talk about your story and talk about your business so that people can understand where you're coming from, so that you can relate with people and stuff like that. So I don't know, it was a big thing for me when I first started in business. And I'm wondering if that's the same for other people that you're coaching.
Absolutely. It was actually the same for me too.
Yeah.
You know, so there's a long story to that. But when I started this business specifically, I had just come back to the English speaking world after speaking Spanish and Portuguese for about 7 years. So, you know, I'd lived in Argentina and Brazil before, and it was extremely challenging because I was coming back to a new language zone or to a previous language zone. I had been in the US before, but not as long. And it was a brand new experience in terms of the type of business. Also, I wasn't really clear yet on what it should look like. And, you know, we were supposed to start testing our message, right, when we network and all of that. And what also was aggravating for me was I didn't know anybody in New York City. I knew maybe two people, so I did not have a network and I had to build that from scratch. Mm-hmm. And plus, at the time, I literally just gone through a devastating and very painful experience in Brazil with a fraudulent business partner, which had cost me my confidence. It was completely crushed. My self-esteem was gone and I had to rebuild everything from below zero, so to speak, right? Mm-hmm. You know, that was challenging. I can relate to everybody. And of course, yes, my clients also experience those issues. A lot of my clients are employees. They have to do presentations. Some of them are new leaders and they have to have those tough conversations with their team members or those, you know, those moments when you have to, as a leader, communicate unpopular policies or news or whatever it is for everybody. I think we all have speaking situations. They're all a little bit different maybe for everybody. Mm-hmm. We have those speaking situations, whether it's online or offline. And then for people who are used to speaking offline in person, it can be really, really challenging when they start speaking online, mm-hmm. video, right? That happened to me too.
It was a big change for me as well. When I started doing YouTube, I was like, right. Oh my goodness, I have to be like put together and like, I don't wear makeup or anything like that. And today I'm in like an orange dress that looks a lot better from the rest of the dress. But right now I'm like, I kind of look like a, you know, a pumpkin, but that's okay. Cause it's almost Halloween. So
you look great.
But it was just like, I remember my very first time having to speak on stage, and we have conventions every quarter in our business. And it was like, Elena, I was a Chisholm at the time. And I was like, oh my goodness, like I have to go up and do a 2-minute speech. And I mean, they prepped me telling me, hey, you should be prepared for this because you don't know if you're going to be the one to get called up to do the speech. And so just like tell your story and have fun with it. And meanwhile, I'm like, oh no, oh my goodness, holy cow, I have to do this. And there was like 500 people. And I was just like, literally trembling, like trembling. And I was just sitting there in that moment going, no one's going to throw anything at me. Like, no one's going to, you know, I'm just telling my story. I'm sharing why I love my business. And I'm like, why is that so challenging? It's not, but it's overcoming ourselves and overcoming that fear of rejection or that fear of what people are going to think about you. And I would I cried on stage, but it was just because I was sharing all of those emotions with people on how much I loved what I was doing. And I being able to just share my story now. But I remember when I first started my podcast, my very first episode was hilarious because it was okay, you're going to try something new. And I've been in the Arete Syndicate coaching group for years and years and years. And they said, just try something new. And I was okay, I'm going to start a podcast. And I was this is going to be terrifying. So I was prefacing this big, scary thing. And then I was I just have to talk. That's it. It's really not that challenging to just share something about yourself. But then you have to get over the rejection that could come along with that. But guess what? There was none. Everyone was you're so incredible. I can't believe you're so courageous to share your story with people. And I was okay, interesting, right? So it's after you've done it, you can kind of analyze afterwards and go through it and be okay, well, what could I have done better? What can I learn? And then I recorded my first couple episodes and I was terrible. And I do interviews for a living, So I was I should probably get better at this and learn to analyze how to do this better. But I listened to a lot of Ed Milet. I listened to a lot of Andy Frisella, and I just focused on Tony Robbins and Grant Cardone and just a bunch of really incredible leaders. And I was if they can do it, I can do it. Right. I'm there's nothing different about these people. They're just people. Right. And when you meet them, they're just like you and me,
Absolutely.
So it's what are we so afraid of, And the more you do it, the more you crave that feeling of those butterflies in your stomach and being able to share your message and get something across to people and create an impact. And I wrote a book. It was published last year, and it was just so crazy. It took me 3 years to write it because I just kept rewriting it and rewriting it. And I learned so much about myself in that book. But it was when I got a phone call from one girl, and it's just called Pursuit of Relentless, a guidebook for your best life possible. And it's just personal development based and what I've learned and my story. And then it's got a workbook in there so people can try and work through some of the stuff they're dealing with, including learning leadership skills and team culture and stuff like that, which we're going to dig into a little bit later. But I was just sharing my story, and I had one girl call me and she said, Elena, I lost my husband. Well, it was her boyfriend, but they were living together. Yeah. And she's read me a piece out of my book. And she's that brought me so much peace and helped me process these emotions that I've been dealing with. And I was just wow, whoa. I had no idea that my story was able to change somebody's life like that, right? Or give somebody peace or give someone even just a little bit of happiness. And then I'm I am being so selfish, not sharing more, So I think it's really beautiful when you can overcome that fear and just go, hey, my story is unique. Maybe somebody needs to hear it from me, right?
That's exactly it. You said the magic word, sharing and making an impact through your story, through your sharing, whatever your message is. And I had actually a very similar moment as you had on a stage in South Africa several years ago now, where in Johannesburg, I was speaking at an event. It was a conference. And this one woman got up in the audience and she said, this just changed my entire perspective, what you just said. So, I didn't expect this either. So we really need to refocus, focus away from our nerves when we get over nervous. A little bit of butterflies is fine, right? It sort of gives us an edge. It's not a bad thing. But when they go too crazy, then we need to really tame them and bring them under control. And I think when we focus away from our nerves onto our audience and the message we want to share, then that's where a little bit of that nervousness already actually goes away. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, you can use all these different tools. And you mentioned your book. I wrote a book about those tools because I needed them myself and I came up with them. I adapted some tools from other people too, of course, and I put them eventually into my book, Speak Up, Stand Out in China. I actually have it here. I don't always have it nearby when I do podcasts, but I happen to have it here because I'm going to actually give this to somebody tomorrow.
Cool.
So that's where those, how these tools and techniques came actually about, because I needed them myself. Mm-hmm. And later I figured, well, if those have helped me, then they're probably also going to help other people. And that's when I started writing this book and put my time and effort into it. And since then, I've gotten a lot of really nice feedback for it. So it's definitely helped people. Again, it's about sharing, right?
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. I think people are just so in their own heads about it. Like, again, my mm-hmm. first 2-minute speech, I was like, oh my goodness, just like so nervous. I have to tell my story. I'm going to stand up in front of people. And that's what's going through your head when you're supposed to be speaking, right? So I found that after I had a little bit of actually had more time on stage, like I got 5 minutes of speaking time or 10 minutes of speaking time, I could really just like, okay, I have to fill 10 minutes. But it was like, I had a topic I needed to talk about or something I could get across to people. Like today, I want to talk about public speaking and leadership and just like building your confidence, right? So if I'm just sitting here going, well, I'm not very confident and I don't like public speaking and it scares the crap out of me. Well, then how am I supposed to be like, okay, I'm going to take it in and learn from someone who's an expert in this field, you know? So you kind of just have to open yourself up to learning and open yourself up to the fact that your story can impact other people's lives. And I've talked about it a lot on my show in the last, 2 years of my fertility journey in particular, that I had multiple pregnancy losses and now I have a family member who's going through the same thing. And she's like, Elena, I don't know how you did it. And so now I'm able to like offer her suggestions on how I've been working through that kind of stuff and like really giving her ways to overcome the struggles that she's, you know, going through and that kind of stuff. And now, pregnancy announcement, I'm 15 weeks pregnant. And
so excited. Congratulations again.
I might cry if I'm a little emotional, this is why. But it's just being able to share that advice with people, because you don't know what you've been through that someone else is struggling with. And everyone is struggling with something. So if you can just embrace your own self-love and go, okay, guys, it's not about me. It's about the people whose lives I'm going to impact. Then sharing your story can be so incredibly empowering. And like people come up to you afterwards and you're like, I bombed that. I did so bad. Oh my goodness. People are going to judge me. And then they're like, that was incredible. You know? And I'm just like,
yeah,
okay. You know, like maybe I'm not so bad at this stuff, but I just think that people are so in their own heads about it. And I don't know.
It is true, you know? Yeah, Elena. So there is an art of storytelling, right? I mean, as speakers, we do learn how to share our story. And actually, I prefer to also call it story sharing rather than storytelling, because yeah. Then that's telling something, somebody, you know, something to somebody. We were really sharing a piece of who we are. Mm-hmm. That describes much better what we're talking about here. But also, you know, there is this art, right? Especially if you also sell from a stage, depending on what you want to achieve. However, there are moments when it just comes straight from the heart. And that was probably such a moment for you, because you didn't have a lot of opportunity to prepare it or to work with somebody to get help to prepare it or whatnot.
Yeah.
Sometimes those are the best moments, yeah. And we just really need to find a way to let it flow.
Exactly. So I'm about to promote a junior broker in my firm. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, so you're going to get 10 minutes of speaking time. So are you prepared? And he's like, oh my goodness, why would anyone want to hear my story? You know? And I'm just like, because there's other people out there that feel that same way, you know, that are struggling with why they've earned speaking time or why they're, the ones telling their stories, right?
Absolutely.
So I look at that and it's like just helping them come out of their shell and helping them understand that their voice is powerful and they have that ability to impact other people. that's a big part of leadership. And I'd love to shift to the leadership side of things and building a team culture of being able to produce people in your team who are comfortable speaking as well, because there's so much power in having people around you that are like, I'll do it. Call on me, you know, versus people like, oh my goodness, she's going to ask me to answer a question. You know what I mean? So I think leadership, I love that you call it leadership and not management as well, because there's a big difference between being a manager and a leader. Mm-hmm. But I look at that aspect of my business and it's my favorite part of it, because I just get to watch these people blossom into the incredible beings that they were born to be. And it's all through like giving them coaching on, hey, go check out this person's podcast or go read this book, right? And it just helps them so much in building their own confidence. So what would you say it would take to help build some efficiency and leadership and optimizing people's team cultures?
Well, first of all, the basis or foundation for everything is trust. So you definitely need to focus on trust building. How do we build trust? Well, first of all, is our presence, our leader presence, right? How do we show up? Are we authentic as leaders? Do people know us? Are we sharing our story also, right, with our teams? And then are we encouraging sharing? I think that's a very important aspect of it as well. And how do we encourage sharing? Well, we ask more questions and the right questions. For example, more open-ended questions, asking for input when we go into a meeting, whether it's a one-on-one or a team meeting, mm-hmm. asking for the team's input. What would they do if they had, let's say, full decision-making authority, for example? Or how would they approach a specific challenge that we experience at this specific moment? And I think it is also really, really beneficial in a different sense as well, because once they contribute their approach, their insights, their ideas, they're also more committed to actually implementing what we decided on. And you get automatic buy-in from the team. So it has multiple beneficial effects. And what I like to really focus on is making people the heart of the business.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That's also why one of the four elements of one of my leadership frameworks, which is called a new paradigm leadership, is called heart, just simply heart. Mm-hmm. And it has several reasons. It's for what I just said, because people are, in fact, the heart of the business. And when you treat them like that, everything changes.
Big time.
And the second reason for that is that we talk so much about mindset, but we forget about heart set. And I like to talk also about not just a self-empowering mindset, but also a self-empowering heart set. We so often say we empower somebody, but we cannot really empower anybody. The power is already inside of them, and got to respect that as team leaders. This power is already inside of these people. It's just a matter of awakening it and of allowing it to show itself, of allowing them to connect with itself, with it, sorry. And it's, we're not putting it into them. They already have it. And I believe that when we treat people as these very capable beings full of potential, and when we're curious about finding out what else is in their potential that we might not even have uncovered, then that brings about what you're asking about, Elena. Mm-hmm. That automatic, you know, participation, more commitment, more engagement, more interest in what I do and more enthusiasm for what I do as a team member.
Yeah.
I think it's also, of course, as always, about communication. Another element of this framework is called message. This is not only about verbal communication, although I am a fan of conversational intelligence. It's something that I studied. It's a specific modality that has some very, very powerful tools and techniques that help us navigate more successfully through team conversations, through negotiations, and all these different situations that we encounter on a daily basis. But it's not just about that verbal component, of course. Because messages are transmitted whether we speak or not. It's about our energy, yes, mm-hmm. which also flows into our presence, because our energy fuels everything. We think, we We talk about our words and we do our actions, mm-hmm. our behavior, our attitude. All of this needs to be attended to, especially when we are in a leadership role. Mm-hmm. Yes. Want to show up with the right energy. And there are ways to optimize our energy also for public speaking before speaking so that we can share more openly, so that we become more visible, not just more confident, but also our perceived presence is enhanced. I think mm-hmm. this is also very, very important so that our brilliance can shine through us.
Yeah, I think that's so important.
Yeah, so that we don't have to talk about what makes us brilliant all the time. I like to talk about knowing, owning, and showing your brilliance.
I love that.
Must master that as a leader, but it's also your responsibility to pass this on to your team.
Mm-hmm. I think when you give people those opportunities to step up mm-hmm. as leaders too, you just see a different side of them that they didn't necessarily know was there. So it's like, Kathy, I need you to teach this class tonight. And she's like, oh my goodness, what am I teaching on? And then she goes into it and she's like, I've got this, you know? And I'm like, yeah, girl, I did it. Right? Like, it's so cool to just see them in their own element when mm-hmm. you're stepping back and letting them have the spotlight. And then they learn so much better as well, because they're the ones teaching the content and stuff like that. So I think it helps them really unleash their passion for what they're doing as well. And I think passion is very, very important. And I think it's why I do so well in my business, is because I'm super passionate about it, right? Versus yeah. being the shy little timid girl over here. Mm-hmm. It's like, no, but I found what I love to talk about. And when you find what you love to talk about, it's really easy to talk about it, right? And it's like,
right. And, you know, a lot of people say, oh, I'm so introverted, or I'm so shy. Well, you know, once you have that passion, you can overcome that. You can move through that. Mm-hmm. And that with a little sprinkle of courage, you can do it anyway, right?
Yeah. So many people are like, yeah. oh, you're so extroverted, Elena. I'm like, no, super introverted. I recharge alone, you know, like
yeah.
even like my husband, super extroverted. He recharges around other people, right? Mm-hmm. Likes to do everything with everyone else. I like to do things alone, right? That's just yeah. how I am. I'm an introvert, yeah. true introvert. However, that doesn't mean that I can't be courageous. That doesn't mean that I can't go out into public settings and speak my truth and, you know, bring my passion to other people. It's just giving me that opportunity to go, hey, I recharge by myself because I love to meditate, or I love to, you know, go for a walk in the forest. And meanwhile, yeah. my dog is crying right now. So if you guys hear her, she has injury. She's just like whimpering on the side here, but she's all fine. Yeah. But yeah, when you find your passion, this fire inside you just ignites, and you're able to just share that with other people, and people feel it big time.
Yeah, absolutely. Passion is so key, especially also as entrepreneurs, right? Because passion helps us keep going when the going gets tough.
Yeah.
It's something that keeps us, keeps the drive up. And when we can spark this and ignite this flame in somebody else, that's when the passion becomes contagious.
Yeah.
We can do that with our team in so many different ways. But first of all, it comes through our attitude. You know, we can teach things, but if people don't see it in us, in our attitude, in our behavior, then it's not credible. And then it's not contagious. Yeah. No, they could have it for themselves, but they're definitely not inspired by us.
Right.
So this is really, really, really important.
It'd be like writing a book about public speaking and never public speaking. You know,
yeah.
It's like, that doesn't work. You can't just be like, I'm an expert in this field, and then like, no, but I've never actually done it. Right.
Absolutely. And also the other thing is, Elena, I think we also need to consider our passions that are not necessarily or not obviously related, I should say, to our work. For example, I love to dance, and it totally flows into my work, although it's seemingly unrelated.
Right.
Okay. But I have learned so many business and leadership lessons through dance.
Yeah.
Business presence, you know, how energy works, how nonverbal communication works, especially in partner dance, where you have to really communicate without words, right? Yeah. Or it just doesn't work. So it's about your energy, it's about intention. And the leader in dance, in partner dance, we typically have a leader and a follower. The leader doesn't dictate, but they indicate with clarity and intention. They guide the other person. Then it becomes this beautiful dialogue that happens. Mm-hmm. And the other person is all about listening, about interpreting, about reacting. And it has to be really fast. So it has to happen in a smooth way. And I think the same is actually happening in smooth conversation in business.
Yeah, definitely. Well, think about dance. Like, you're moving your body, you're expressing your energy, you're raising your energy level, but you're also like super in tune with your heartbeat, your breath, your, you know, all your passion, your excitement, your partner. And it's like so many moving pieces just to get to that beautiful dance, right? And it's the same with public speaking. It well, not the same, because you're obviously, you should probably stand in one spot, not like walk around stage like this.
Actually one of my challenges, Elena, moving too much in the beginning. I was moving too much. So yes, we need to be authentic, but also when we move too much and we walk around all the time, it becomes distracting.
Very distracting. And you see these incredible speakers on stage and they're like planted. And I'm like, how do they do that? It's because it doesn't matter to them if people are judging them. It's they're trying to deliver this message and they know that they're going to deliver a better message if they can pause after, you know, very important points, or repeat something after an important point, or, you know, drive it home with a story. And I think that when I learned how to tell my own story and how to frame a story in a conversation, it's so much more powerful. I sell life insurance. You know, I'm like, you try selling life insurance without talking about a client example of when your 51-year-old client passed away unexpectedly. And now her husband is, you know, set for life, but not because he wants to lose his wife, right? Because he's in a position where he can now move to his dream home and, you know, have that life where he just had a grandbaby. It's so cool, you know, but I look at this stuff and I'm like, if I didn't share those kind of experiences with people, they probably wouldn't see the value in it, right? Or critical illness insurance. Like, I think about people who deal with people who've had cancer or have dealt with a critical illness, like having a stroke or having a heart attack or something like that. And it's like, if you don't talk about those things or what you'd want to happen, you're probably not going to sell the policy, right? So just asking, we call it being a professional question asker. It's not drilling them with questions, you know, it's just going, what would you like to happen in these situations? And my favorite part of my job is helping people dream again and getting them really thinking about what's possible in their lives, because then they're able to just open up to you and be like, I did think about this one time. Like, it was funny, one of the girls I interviewed the other day, I was going through our traditional info gather, getting to know them, getting to know what they want for their financial plan. And she was just like, I just want security. I want security. I want to be good. And then I was like, okay, well, outside of that, what does that dream house look like? You know, like, you mentioned that you wanted to buy a house. Is it in town? Is it out of town? What does it look like? And she's like, I actually had this dream. And then she starts describing this incredible place with a white picket fence. And she's like, I never thought I'd have a white picket fence. She's like, but I just had this vision and it was so clear about what I wanted. And you can just see her ignite, you know, just like the light in her face just lit up. And I was like, that's why I like doing this, because you get to just unleash that power with somebody because you're asking good questions. I think that's
It's so important to dream and to learn to dream again. I love that. You know, we are so educated out of dreaming at school. We're not allowed to daydream. We are not allowed to come up with our own solutions in a way. Yeah. We're supposed to study what's presented to us. And so we're told dreaming is not a good thing. But a dream becomes a vision, right? And a lot of people say, oh, dreams don't come true, plans come true. But you know what, Elena? There's no plan without a dream.
Exactly. It's so important to dream. And I don't know, when I first started in business, it was like, do a top 100 list of the things that you want to accomplish in your life. And me and my husband sat down. It took us 3 hours to go through because it's just like, well, what else could we do? You know, it's everything from like, we want to buy a pool table to we want to buy a boat. We want to take our family to Disney. We want to, you know, like go and do missions trips and stuff like that. Or one of them's like volunteer at an orphanage, you know? And I look at these things and I'm like, I want to buy my mom a house. I want to retire my husband, you know? And then it's like crossing them off. And it's like, if I didn't have that focus, if I didn't have those goals on where I wanted to travel, what I wanted to do with my life, then life is going to happen anyways, but it's not as planned. Versus if you can just go, I want this, then you can go towards accomplishing that, right? So getting the girl to dream about her house a little bit is like, okay, that's putting it in her mind that it is possible, right? But she can't be wasteful with her money. She has to be intentional with it, right? So little things like that, it's helping them understand, hey, if you get out of your own way, you can probably make this stuff happen, right? Yeah. And same with public speaking. I think a lot of people just get in their own way. But when, like you said, when you just let yourself go, you let yourself experience that moment and sharing that passion and sharing that vision with other people, you never know what it's going to be like after, right?
Right. And what you're talking about is also about just making your life more self-directed rather than directed by others or by what we call coincidences, yeah. Right? And really grabbing our opportunities, recognizing our opportunities, because we're changing our subconscious filters through this vision that is constantly present in our minds, even if we don't think about it consciously, but the subconscious works with it. And we might see opportunities that we might not otherwise see, even, you know, and we can grab them. So that's really a fascinating process. Also, to come back to public speaking, of course, you know, there are those very natural moments. And then there are definitely moments when you just, you know, when you have the opportunity to not just wing it, you want to be prepared, right? So we don't want to downplay the importance of that either, because it's very important that if you go on a stage and you have that opportunity to share something, that you are properly prepared.
Big time.
And, you know, that's why we write signature talks, we write presentations, and we practice, we rehearse. That gives us additional confidence. It gives us the possibility to stay within time, right? So always time your performance. It's a performance. And also use your techniques before. Right. So that you can stay focused, so that you can really focus also on your audience, respond to your audience in a way that makes sense, play with your audience, become more playful so you can both have more fun with it, both sides. Right.
Yeah. And every week we do speech club with my team every Thursday morning.
It's so fun.
And you just see people like semi-terrified when they first start. And then it's like, you have 2 minutes to talk about, and you give them a random topic, why cats are better than dogs. And if they're like, no, I actually like cats better. Well, that's now your talk, right? It doesn't matter. If you start with this topic, you end up where you want to deliver that message, and it makes it easier for them to talk about it. So little things like that, just like helping them pivot in their conversations, or helping them be able to like use that creative thinking versus just being like frozen and I don't know what to talk about. It's like, well, why do you like dogs better than cats? Or why, you know, whatever the topic is. But, and then we'll give them topics that are obviously more suited to business and stuff like that. But I love doing that with my team, and it just really helps them come out of their shell. It's fun.
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. I, you know, when you inspire this in the right way, rather than putting somebody on the spot, that's also important when you work with your team. Mm-hmm. Find a way to start the conversation, to spark something. Maybe if you want to inspire your team to share their stories within the frame of a team working, maybe within that setting, then share your story first.
Yeah.
You know, but you have to set the stage for this to happen in a team, because if people don't trust you or if they don't trust each other, then they actually will shut up and they will not share, right? Mm-hmm. So that's why, again, trust is so important. Give them the tools, the options, the inspiration in a way.
Yeah, I love that. Well, we are running out of time, but I want you to have the floor if there's anything else that you feel is important to share with people when it comes to leadership or building team culture or even more on public speaking. But yeah, is there anything that comes up to mind that you're like, I really think this is important for people to know?
Well, first of all, you know, these are very, very big topics. We could only touch on a few specific nuggets during this conversation, as is always the case on those podcasts. In those podcast conversations, it's just what it is. But there's so much you can find in your potential that you have not even explored yet. So I would like everybody to really sit down and look at that potential. Now, what we talked about passion earlier. What are you passionate about that you have never used in your job or in your business? Mm-hmm. That could potentially flow into it as a rich resource, and you just have not explored it, or something that you just love doing in your life. How could that potentially re-spark something that you might have neglected? Right. Mm-hmm. I think it's very, very important when it comes to leadership. Well, you know, I always think leadership starts with self. It's all about self leadership first. Yeah. It's the most important leadership skill. The basis for that, again, is self-awareness. We go on a self-discovery process because the better we understand ourselves, the easier it gets to understand others, right? Yeah. And we also need to know how we're perceived. So how are we going to find out about that? We're going to ask for feedback. We observe how people react to us, how they respond to us. And we use this to constantly grow and find out more about ourselves. And once we master what I call the powerful leadership transformation, that's actually the name of my other framework, that mastering of who we are as leaders, then it's almost automatically passed on to our teams. Although we can also, of course, share some specific learnings that we had with them and tools and techniques. And I definitely want to inspire every single team leader to do that, because the more of what you have learned in your leadership, whatever it is, seminars, coaching, or your own experience, your growth experience, the more you share that with your team, the more your team will benefit and the more your own success will also be growing, right? Mm-hmm. So in that powerful leadership transformation, what I like to focus on specifically are four pillars. One is a self-empowering mindset and heart set. Again, the mind and heart is everywhere. It's also in my other framework in a slightly different way. Then distinctive uniqueness, finding out what your very unique and specific brilliance is and own it. What's your genius? What's your leader genius? We have geniuses in several different areas, right? And also, on the other hand, what are my shortcomings and how can I address them, of course, because that's the always the other side of the coin. The third pillar of that is a body and energy conscious presence. We talk so much about presence, but what is that really? And a lot of it is in our body and comes through our energy. And that's why I specifically focus it on that in my work, although the there's a lot more that flows into presence, of course. And then, of course, the fourth pillar is inspired and effective action, which is also aligned action. Because as you know, Elena, we can be super busy. We can work all day, 24 hours a day, and still not achieve what we want if it's not aligned action, if it's not inspired action, mm-hmm. inspired by the right mindset, the yeah. right attitude, and so on.
Yeah, well, that's it. 100%. It's again going back to that girl going, I don't know if I can ever have this house. Well, you can have whatever you want if you're planning for it, right? Yes. It's then you're out there looking for it and you're searching for that perfect home or something that you can turn into that perfect home versus going, there's no way I'm ever going to be able to achieve that. Well, that's just some stinking thinking, right? And we got to fix that. So just changing our perspective of what we are worth and what we are capable of earning.
Capable of creating.
Yeah, exactly.
We're even capable of doing. So again, it's about your subconscious in a big way, because 95% or more of our behavior is driven by our subconscious programming. And with different thinking every single day, we change it a little bit more. And we constantly upgrade this programming and we replace the previous programming. It's a gradual process. But the more we cultivate those, I call it what if questions, Elena. Those empowering what if questions. What if I could do this? What if there was an option in this way? What if I could achieve this? What else is possible, basically, right?
Exactly.
Because those questions actually inspire your brain to find a solution.
Yeah. Oh, I love that so much. Boom. Well, I want to finish on that because that is going out with a bang. So I would love for people to get more access to you. I know you spoke about your book a little bit. I will put the link in the show notes for you guys so that you can get a copy of Regina's book. But where would you like people to find you? On social media or on your website?
Absolutely. My website is Transform Your Performance. That's also the name of my business, transformyourperformance.com. I am on LinkedIn as Regina Huber. And I have a LinkedIn Career Growth Strategies newsletter. I write quite a bit about, of course, career advancement and leadership presence, all these different things, and specifically also about my very own approach to leadership and coaching. Yes, my coaching approach is very holistic. And I have a YouTube channel. It's at Regina Huber. I have my book on Amazon, Speak Up, Stand Out, and Shine, easy to find. And that's about it.
I love it. That's one of my favorite pieces is the speak up, stand out, and shine. Like, just because when you embrace that person, that version of yourself that you may not have even know existed, you are shining and you are vibrant in your own self and you feel it too. So I love that that's how you close the topic of your book, is just being able to shine, because that's necessary. It's necessary. We got to get out there and we got to put that good vibrations out into the world. And that's why I run this podcast. So guys, if you got a lot of value out of today, which I know I did, make sure you share it with a friend or tag someone in it who's like going to get a ton of value out of these kinds of episodes. So thanks again for listening. You are very valued and much appreciated. And until next time, that's Pursuit of Relentless, signing out.